I'm preaching through Mark, if you're a guest here today, and we are on Mark chapter 3, verse 13, and I want to talk to you about the 12. The 12. Jesus, verse 13, went up to the mountainside and called those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed the 12 that they might be with him, and that they might send them, that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the son Bojanus, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Lord, I just ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts today. Help us to hear from you, and may you touch us. We invite your presence into this room, Lord, in a supernatural way. Do your bidding in our hearts together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everything Jesus is doing is to teach the disciples to do ministry. Do you understand that? When he heals somebody, it's to teach them. When he walks somewhere, it's to teach them. When he's kind to someone, it's to teach them. When he heals, when he teaches, everything is to teach them to do ministry. Matter of fact, he calls them to the mountains so that what? He can send them forth to preach. And isn't it interesting? Isn't it beautiful that today we send someone forth to preach the gospel? And next week we're going to celebrate our sending potential as a church. And it's going to be awesome because it's what Jesus commanded us to do. I want you to also see that there are parallels to the life and ministry of Jesus with the Old Testament. When Jesus goes to the side of the mountain, you need to understand there's a parallel, and you're going to see it later on as we go through Mark. There's a parallel to Moses. Moses goes up on the mountain, and he gives the Ten Commandments. And what did Jesus do? He taught. We call it what? The Sermon on the Mount. So just as Moses delivered the law from the mountain, so Jesus preaches from that mountain. So what God is trying to orchestrate and to communicate to his people is this: one greater than Moses has arrived. So he calls his disciples to go up on the mountain, just like Moses would call his disciples to go up on the mountain. And eventually there was one moment in Exodus where he brings them up and then he sends them out, and they all began to prophesy throughout the whole camp. And one of the guys comes up to Moses and said, Hey, you got to stop this. You got to stop this. They're prophesying in the camp. And Moses declares this: I wish that all God's people were prophets and teachers. Ooh. Moses didn't mind sharing the role of being a teacher, preacher. Amen? Yes. In the Old Testament, the mountain was a place of revelation. You see it time and time again in the Old Testament. They went to the mountain. They went to the mountain. It was also a place of redemption. And the scripture says he called those who he wanted. And the scripture says they came to him. Aren't you glad you came to him? I mean, it's one thing for Jesus to call. It's one thing for Jesus to knock. But unless you come to him, unless you take advantage of what is offered to you. Amen. And that's what they did. They were just hanging out with Jesus on the side of a mountain because he said, hey, come with me. That's cool. And this is what the scripture says. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. Say that with me. Just checking to see if it was up there. Do you see it? Let's read it together. Give yourselves a hand. That's right. Here's the important thing, and you do not forget this right here, because this is what I want to tell you. Their first priority and their first call was to be with him. Matter of fact, unless they were with him, they couldn't do for him. And sometimes we get so busy in doing, we forgot the with him part. And in a few moments at the end of this service, I'm going to give you an opportunity just to be with him. Please take advantage. Don't walk out. Just don't listen. I know some of you have to go to work, and I know some of you have to go. You got roasts on the oven at Sonny's or somewhere. Would you just take a moment and just be with him at the end of the service? Would you do that? All right, that's my challenge to you today. All right, so here they are. They had this special place of fellowship with the Messiah, and this mountain was a place of revelation, and Jesus is the source of revelation. Can you imagine being on the mountain, called to be with him, expecting something supernatural to take place because you're with the one who is the person of the source of revelation? The revelation, the being with him, would be more important than anything they would ever do for him. I think being with him qualified them for the task of doing for him. Matter of fact, in Acts it says, who are these guys? They're just Galileans. You know what they're really saying? They're uneducated. They're from the other side of the tracks. And this is what the scripture says. They took note. They had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. The priority that Jesus is trying to establish for his disciples to fulfill, to the fulfillment of the Great Commission, is this: be with me first. Then he could send them out in power. Then he could send them out and they would have authority. Then they would send them out and demons would flee and sick people would get well. I'm telling you, there's something about being with him that empowers us to do for him. Mark chapter 6, he will say these. These are the instructions that Jesus gives to his disciples. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, not an extra shirt. Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. Think about that for a moment. He's sending them out basically empty-handed. I don't know about you, but some of us, you know, we can't do anything unless we got it all together. And therefore, we ain't doing nothing. You know, I sometimes sit on all kinds of boards and all that, and most of the time when people go, well, you know, I would like to do this. And say, well, how come you haven't done that for God? Well, I'm just not qualified yet. The truth of the matter is, none of us are qualified to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's he that does something inside of us when we dare to just hang out with him. And he calls them. He calls them by name. Mark names every one of them. And you know what? There's only three of them mentioned again. You know what he calls them? The 12. How would you like that? Your name never mentioned again. That's hard. That's hard because we all want to be patted on the back. We all want near recognition. And sometimes somebody overlooks you and you get mad, you get offended, you get all this stuff. And listen to me. He's more important than you. And when you stay with him and abide with him and understand your first call is to be with him, you don't care if anybody knows your name because it's about his name. Help us, Lord. He calls them. And he says this. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Remember what Jesus said? Don't rejoice that your names are, that demons flee from you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, the important thing, see, if you don't stay with him, you get things out of whack in your life. Because if you're not with him, you begin to think, oh, look what a great preacher I am. Look how many people got healed at my hand. How many things happened because of what I did. I. And listen to me. He is the one who works through us. John had it right. He must increase. And I must decrease. Yeah. Don't even mention them. You know what he calls them? He calls them the 12. There's the 12. There's the 12. There's the 12. How would you like that? It'd be all right. You know what he becomes and what he's making? A new messianic community. Members who share life together because of Jesus. 12. It's significant because there are 12 tribes in Israel, and now God's doing something supernaturally different. There is a new community of God being accomplished through these 12. You see, in the choosing of the 12, Jesus is pointing to a new creation of his work to point to the future community of God. And I'm glad to know that I belong to that community. The household of faith. It points to the extension of the work of God through his people. God wants to work through Freedom Church. God wants to work through you. He does. So he called them to be with him. So when God started calling me into ministry, I worked at TGNY. It doesn't even exist now. I was the stock manager at TGNY. That was an important job. And at lunch, I take my little Nova and go down by the water, and a liter of Mr. Pibb. I wouldn't eat. I was fasting. Some of you that are sticklers for the law say, there ain't no fast. You're drinking sugar. Jesus showed up in my car. Because it wasn't about what I was doing. It was about him. To this day, I'll drink a Mr. Pibb and I'll remember that day and those days when he did things inside of me that nobody else could ever do. I believe with all my heart, he healed me in his presence. Where'd he hear you from, Pastor Larry? I don't know. You know, my mom and dad, they just had struggles, and I could go down a list, and my dad never said I love you till I was graduated from college or in the middle of college. I don't know about you, but I believe every young person, every child needs to hear their mom and dad say, I love you. And in the cab of my little car, Jesus would speak to me about how much he loved me. I understand this scripture because it's what Jesus did. He called me to be with him. I didn't do anything for him. He just wanted me to be with him. And in the midst of that, he healed things inside of my life that no one could heal. He changed my thought process, or began that process, began to change that. He did things inside of me. It was an amazing thing. And I look back on those days and thank God for the moment. He called me to himself. I graduated from high school and worked there at TGNY for a year. And then in the middle of that, I decided to go to Southeastern because God had called me to minister. And I'll never forget, they wanted me to be a manager at TGNY. And it's good money. But did I tell you TGNY doesn't exist anymore? So I went to Southeastern, and every morning at 6 a.m. I would go to the chapel and wait for him to open it up. Because I loved being with Jesus. I'm being very transparent right here with you today. Because I want to tell you something. I want to teach you something that some of you need to abide in him. You got all this junk going on in your life. And if you would just learn to stay at his feet. Be at his feet. He'd heal some of it. He gave me direction. He restored confidence. I think the major thing that I learned just being with him, I fell in love with Jesus. I love Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus. I discovered who he was. I discovered his goodness. I began to know him. He became more than just a story in the Bible. He was more than something written about. He became more than what others were telling me about. I saw him in his sweetness, his greatness, his presence. There's nothing I like better than being in his presence. His presence overwhelmed every part of me. I understand why Jesus called them, the 12, to be with him first. I'm reading this little devotion, and in the devotion the other day, it talked about Abraham. Listen to this, Genesis 17:1. When Abraham was 99 years old, Abram, excuse me, he hasn't Abraham yet. When Abraham was how old? The Lord appeared to him. I hope when I'm 99, God's still appearing to me. I hope when I'm 99, I still have a desire to be with him. I hope when I'm 99, there's something about God showing up that's more important than anything else. And God said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me, faithfully and blameless. It doesn't say anything about where he's going. It doesn't even talk about a destiny. It doesn't even talk about what God's going to do in the midst of it. And some of us would have trouble with God right now, because if he asked that to us, we'd say, where are we going? What are we going to do? And God says to Abraham, walk with me. Walk with me. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've got a little out of balance. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? Do, 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 do. And I end up with a lot of do. Think about that for a moment. He's 99 and God says, walk before me faithfully. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 5. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Not days, years. Enoch walked with God. And he was no more, because God took him away. The first rapture of the Bible. He walked. The Greek culture so influenced the church and the Western community and our society. The Greeks thought and philosophy and all of those helped us to think about God in relationship to philosophy and truth and all of, and that all is all wonderful and important. But I want you to understand something. The Jewish community did not think of God in relationship to philosophy and this and that. They thought of God about one who is in the middle of history. The one who walks with Enoch and Abraham and the people of Israel. The one who invades history to rescue his people. You see, the Jewish people have long pointed out that God is introduced in history rather than philosophy. And the faithfulness is central to the notion of faith. They knew God through history. They experienced God. His faithful activity in their behalf. So he calls Abraham, come walk with me. Come walk with me. So he calls the 12, come be with me. He called them to be with him. I want you to bow your heads right now. I want you to shut everything else out of your life. That means plugging your ears. That means closing your eyes. And I want you to pretend that you're on the side of a mountain somewhere, and Jesus has called you unto himself. He's called you to be with him, to walk with him. To walk before him, to walk with him. Thank you. don't know about you, but when I read about the disciples, I know there was a lot of things in their lives that need healing. Peter opened his mouth way too much. The sons of thunder argued way too much. James, and fighting for position, even sends his mama to say, hey, we'll let one of my sons sit on your right or left, because, I mean, they're special. And what I deduce from all that, it's easy to get away from being with him. I believe with all my heart that some of you, God is renewing a call to be with him. You've been way too busy. You've been way too busy about worrying about what you're going to do for him and what you're going to, righteous things. Don't get me wrong, righteous things, but he wants you to be with him. Help me, Lord, to be with you again. Help me, Lord, to fall in love with your presence more than all the stuff. Help me, Lord, to know what it is to be with you.